Thank the Lord this evening. I'm glad to be able to be here together this evening. The one we serve tonight is a mighty God. He has proven His not only value, but His great value. That's not quite good enough. I don't know how else to say it. But tremendous worth to you and I. We have salvation tonight. That word we've almost gotten used to, but it means something to us. What it means to me is part of that song says, He lifted me out of a deep miry clay. He settled my feet on a straight narrow way. Thank the Lord for that tonight. I'm not the same person that I used to be. Salvation means to me that I'm changed. Divinely changed. Oh, I remember the night when I got up from the altar. And I always have liked music. I liked some of the wrong music. And that was my heart had went out to that. And I remember when I got up from the altar that night, the great change that came in me, some of the things I had given myself to before, I was busy hunting up some of those old songs and other things, and I started throwing them in the trash. My heart had changed. Didn't want it anymore. Some things I'd given myself to before, the Lord had taken it out of my heart. One of the things I'd given myself to was a sense of hatred that is a terrible thing, a terrible burden to carry. And it was terrible that night. I came down so weighted with it. And the Lord changed me in an instant that night. I got up. Oh, maybe it's Brother Ed. Some of our brethren have talked about they're amazed that our altars can still hold up over the great weight that we've laid on those altars through the years. I want to tell you the weight that I laid on that altar was tremendous that night. But when I got up a free man. Salvation's real, folks. It's so real. So it ought not to be a word that we get so accustomed to that it's just a part of our vernacular that we just say it. It has meaning. And God is still the one that is able. Sister Angela mentioned something about that in her prayer tonight. We need a strong... There's a strong man that has many people bound, but there is a stronger that has come. And He has no fear of that strong man. Utterly no fear. He's willing to walk right into the depths of the places where He has bound people. Where that strong man has bound people. The stronger one can come right in there and deliver that individual from those bonds and set him free. And he can go rejoicing. It was Jesus is the one that read the chapter in Isaiah. And He said, this day is it. This fulfilled in your ears about those who are in prison could go free. Talk about the blind that could see. I thank God tonight for salvation. And once you understand what that means when I say that, I thank God for freedom in my soul, for freedom from sin, freedom from the old man that I used to be. And tonight we stand by the grace of God. And I thank the Lord for His great love and mercy to us. And I want to tell you tonight, if somewhere there's a dark place in your life that you, perhaps the devil has told you that there's no way you can ever go free. Well, he's been in the lying business a long time. And I want to tell you there's a God who meets him and is able to deliver you tonight. There's great hope. Every once in a while in my experience with the Lord, I've met up with some people that have just blessed my life tremendously. I've seen experiences that just blessed my life tremendously. And those instances really are great hallmarks in my life. Y'all know Brother Philip Busby. Most of you, some of you at least do. Known him from a child up. Known him from when he got off in sin into drug addiction. saw him at times when after seeing him, I walked away thinking, even if the Lord saved him, he doesn't have any mind left. That's actually the way I felt when I walked away. But you all have seen him. You know what salvation means? Amen. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I just rejoice every time I see my dear brother Philip. Maybe he doesn't know how much he blesses my soul, but just him being able to still sing these songs and be saved, that means so much to me. And last Monarch, when I saw Brother Doyle go to the altar, my Brother Doyle, I'm sorry, Brother Glenn. All right. When I saw him at the altar, it was something I had thought I may never see. And I just felt like shouting. So I'm going to tell you that blesses my soul. And I want you to know that when you come to the altar and get saved and you remain faithful, that means an awful lot to me. And that you really bless my soul. We're not any one of us here an island to ourselves. We have effect on one another, and God wants us to have that effect and be faithful unto the Lord, be encouraging factor in each other's lives. Well, I want to thank the Lord tonight for salvation and His great love. Have something on my heart I want to share with you this evening. We're going to actually end up, at least part of it, we're going to be over in James, the fourth chapter. But before we get there, we want to talk a little bit about some other areas. God's people has always been marked. There's telltale marks that God's people has always had. I'm not talking about since 1880. I'm talking about clear back from the cross forward. They're godly people. These are hallmarks of who God's people are. They're godly people. They're changed people. These are people of God. And people notice that. They have some identifying marks. We've always been godly people. And Brother Peter over in 1 Peter, the second chapter in the ninth verse, he gave us a little short synopsis of some of that view. And that reads, "But ye are a chosen generation, yes, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people." And this peculiar doesn't mean odd. This means we're chosen, we're set apart, we are dedicated unto a work for God. We are chosen, we are dedicated, we're a special people unto God. Chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Isn't that a wonderful picture? Do you see how the Lord sees you and I tonight and how we should see ourselves? I'm this kind of a person. This is what God is expecting of us. We're this kind of a people. God has that expectation, and God wants us to have that expectation of ourselves. We're special unto the Lord. God wants us to be notably godly people in this world. These are the boundaries that God has set for us, yet throughout history. With all those boundaries and holiness and the notable men of God that has come down and written in the Scripture, right on down to our day to day. Yet we have something that has seemed to be a black eye that we ought to notice, because we struggle with some of it too. I would like to think about the little idea, a word that I want to call conflict. Was it ever in the Scripture a conflict? I'm talking between brothers. How do we deal with conflict? God would have us to be able to meet conflict in our lives with our brothers wherever we are in life, God would have us to be able to meet that and not see it as necessarily a bad, always necessarily. Conflict isn't always a bad thing. It's not always wrong. But it can be wrong when we let carnality get in the middle of this. And I would like for us to consider some things here this evening. I wrote down here a little part. And conflict is an inherent byproduct of having individual thought. In other words, you have an opinion. You have a right to that opinion. And sometimes I don't see your opinion as being right according to my view. I have a little different opinion. So what do we do with that? That happens in our homes. That happens between good marriages. That happens in good congregations. That happens between good brethren, good ministers. And don't say, oh, hang on. No, it's not so. I'm going to bring up to you, if you're going to say that, I'm going to bring up to you Brother Paul and Brother Barnabas. And I'm going to call them good, saved brethren. And I'm going to call them good, saved, sanctified brethren. These were men of God. Now, when we look at what happened in their life, I want you to understand they had, it said that the contention, it's over in Acts, the contention was so sharp. And sometimes we think that, well, surely this is sin. Dear ones, sometimes a difference of opinion does not need to be sin. No, it doesn't. Now we can allow it to get to the point that carnality has, and we do receive some damage, but it doesn't need to be that way. Did you know we can deal with some things in an adult way? And I think God would teach us tonight, would help us to understand that when we talk about adult, it doesn't mean I just reached the legal age. That's not a real good definition of adult. Legally, it might be so, but there's a different definition we need to understand of being an adult. That's having the ability to meet hard places and deal with it without flying off the handle, with a measured way of dealing with life, with some understanding, with some careful consideration. These are some of the marks of being an adult. We don't have to meet some of these things in our life and allow it to destroy us, dear ones. The devil would love to cause conflict, have such a major part in our life that we can't even get along. And I want to tell you, the devil's still lying. We can get along. Don't give the devil that territory in your life. No, the devil would like to say, well, I'm upset. They don't see it my way. I'm starting to not like them. And he'll feed all those feelings in our life until we can't even come and sit in the bench here together. And you hold your hand up and without me looking at you crosswise. There's a better way. There's some victory that the Lord would have us to have. Don't give the devil that territory. I want to tell you, this has been something that godly people have faced throughout history. It's not new in our day. But God has been able to help godly people throughout history when we struggle with this. And I want to tell you, just maybe, perhaps, I might be just guessing a little bit here, but typically in a crowd this size, there's going to be somewhere, there's some conflict brewing. On some level, sometimes, you ever had your children? You know, sometimes when you're dealing with your children, my children didn't always say, yes, Daddy, I agree with you. That's just not the way it worked. And you know what? I didn't want them to always say that. Neither do I want you always just to say, yes, Brother Ivan, I agree with that. I want you to get hold of God for yourself. Yes. It's important.
I don't want you to do what I say just because I said it. I want you to get a hold of the God that has led the brothers and sisters throughout history down to this day. God wants you to know Him for yourself. You've got to have something more than what brothers and sisters. Honor what God has given our older brothers and sisters. Honor what God, but God has our portion for us in our day. I know it's so very important when you go out and face the conflicts of this world, when you face the opposition of the world, when you face the temptations of this world, you're going to have something more than what brother and sister, somebody else said. You're going to have something that God wrote on the fleshly tables of your heart. Something that you know is right. Because I don't have grace to give you. You may do what I say, but I don't have grace to give you. Dear ones, did you know it's all, I think it's a lazy position to say, just tell me what to do. That's not what God wants us to be. God wants us to say, Lord, I want to follow You and I want to be molded. And along in that path, at some point, you're going to have to take the bull by the horns. You're going to have to, and the Lord will show you some things to do. He'll help you. He's got grace for you. But dear ones, He doesn't just do it all for you. There's something God has for you and I to grasp, behold, and go forward by His grace and the power of His touch and move forward in the things of the Lord. God has grace for you and I. And dear ones, it's so very important when we face life. When I didn't want my children to do things just because Daddy said, because I was thinking all the time that someplace in their life they're going to have to face life without me. And I want them to have some legs to stand on. And God wants you and I to grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And somewhere in this area of living life and learning how to mature. Maturation is not something that happens overnight, folks. You're not going to always learn how to handle conflict on the first time you faced it. Do you think Brother Paul and Brother Barnabas learned something from what they did? I think they did. One of the things I think is I'm very thankful for. Sometimes I've read that part in the Bible and I said, Lord, that's a negative there. I kind of wish that wasn't in, but I'm glad the Lord put it in the Scripture. Because it gives us a rounded picture of our humanity. And also lets me know that I need to be on guard in some areas. There's some areas the Lord wants to help us with in life. Well, we need to start understanding a little bit of where some of these things come from. Over here in James, the 4th chapter. First verse says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Came they not hence even of your lusts at war in your members? Now, I want to think a little bit and make a little distinction. He says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? To me, wars and fightings is a little bit more than just a difference of opinion. Differences of opinions don't always need to be blown up to war. You don't have to. Doesn't have to go to that point. We can learn to handle it as an adult, as a mature Christian, to deal with some differences. I remember one time, I don't even remember the incident, but I remember the words, Brother Ed. One time we were talking about, I was in an area where we were discussing some things, not just me alone, there was different ones there. And he said, we're all adults here. And I thought, well, I certainly hope we are. Because I was pointing even at myself. Dear one, sometimes we need to learn
when we need to learn how to handle things in a right way. There's some expectations we should be able to have of one another. You ever heard of thin-skinnedness? The term thin, they got a thin skin. You know what comes to your mind? That means you kind of walk on eggshells around them, and you've got to be real careful what you say. And I understand there's a place for us to be very careful with people. We got some responsibility in that. But also, if we're one of those that has a thin skin, did you know the Lord would like to mature us? He would like to help us to grow to the point that people didn't have to walk on eggshells around us. And do you think that, did you know that God has that healing for us? We don't always have to be one of those that people we irritate. Lord, help us to work together in this. There's something that the Lord wants to bring us all to a place where we flow together, knit together. You have your place in the body. This morning, I love singing. We've got the best songs in the world. Brother Bob has been leading the singing, but this morning Brother Bob had to go to work, and Brother Nelson was the song leader. It was a very different presentation of the song service. A very blessed, wonderful presentation. The gift was different. But the gift was wonderful. Wasn't Brother Bobby? Brother Nelson. Ministers have different presentations. We're different. But the gifts are given by God. God wants us to keep ourselves wholly offered to God on the altar without reserve and allow Him to use us as He will. And as He begins to use our vessel, there's going to be some shaping and some molding that goes along on the road of life. And our expectation of one another, we do expect, these are holy people, they're a chosen generation. But they also have some things that the Lord's working on as we're going along in life. And I certainly hope you have mercy on me, because I'm going to still need it. And along the road, as we learn to have mercy on one another, we're going to find that not only do we have mercy, but we have compassion. And we see another person that stubbed their toe and feel awfully embarrassed or what. And we're going to come along and say, brother, I know. I put your arm around them and say, we're going to heaven. We're praying for you, brother. Keep on going. Keep on. Don't let the devil get you down. You know, there have been times that people's had so much mercy on me. There have been times, literally, I believe if there was an escape button up here that I could have pushed, I'd have used it. If somehow you could just kind of drop out. And sometimes in our humanity, I fear that the flesh has seen way too much. Yes, Lord, help us. But there's space for growth. And I want to thank you for the mercy that you've shown me in the past. I really thank you. We live amongst the most merciful and wonderful people. I've heard people say those are judgmental folks. I want to tell you they're lying. They don't know the people that I know. We are the most merciful, long-suffering people that I have ever seen. And I want to encourage you to continue that. Because the devil will do all he can to get us to biting and devouring. And that's not beneficial for anyone except the devil to his causes. So may the Lord... So where does wars... This is something else that got in here and started growing and festering. You see, notice, whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust? He pointed his finger. Careful. When I say lust, that what he's really meaning, he's talking about the old carnal flesh here. He's talking about a part in us that we want to stand up for my way. My opinion is better than yours. And don't tell me you don't think that, because every man's way is right in his own eyes. And he didn't exempt you or me. But we have to learn how to deal with that in a godly way. Cannot godliness, and surely it can, be applied to ourselves in my, when I deal with my own opinions? Should it not? Yes, it should. Yes, it can. Oh, dear ones, I know that the Lord can work even through situations that sometimes get a little out of hand, but I think the Lord the Lord and the congregations and the people looking on would be blessed if we get flesh out of the way and allow people to see Jesus only. And we have a song that says, Jesus only, Jesus only. Let me see Jesus only. Surely that is the cry. I know it's a cry of your heart. When you look, when you listen to a message, I know the cry of your heart is that I want to see Jesus. I've seen placards up here. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Says it right here. So true. And tonight, I know you're hearing me talk about some of these issues, but dear ones, we need to see Jesus. We need the Lord God Himself working in every part of our lives. Do you know He's the only one that can bring cohesiveness to us as a congregation. Want to say it differently? He's the only one that can really bring spirit unity. We're knit together in love. What is this element? What is this element that causes us to run this race, to go through affliction, to go through temptation, to go through the different oppositions of life and be faithful? What is it? Is it fear from hell? Well, that might be part of it, but that's not nearly enough. What is it that holds you in the storm? What is it? It is, God called Himself this. He said, God is love. And that element is what God implants within your heart, in your heart and mind. He overcomes us by His love. Overcomes. He overwhelms us. He draws us by great cords of love till we willingly, joyfully follow Him. What was it that the three Hebrew children found? Wonder what kind of conflicts they may have had when they were saying, maybe one of them said, but brother Abednego, he said he's going to burn us if we don't bow down. Brother Abednego may have said, brother, I can't bow down. Brother, this is going to be in our head. Let's go to prayer, brother. We got to have the Lord. We got to have Him. He means more to me. I've had some experiences with Him, brother. Brother Meshach, I've had some experiences. I've seen the Lord. I can't leave Him now. I don't know. I know I'm putting words that maybe didn't happen that way. But there's the possibility that when we're dealing with things in life, that there's some difference of opinion. But we need to focus on the Lord. And then when they got themselves alone listening to the voice of the Lord, they had something. And then when the king called them up there, what was their answer? You know, sometimes I've thought of that they probably just almost boldly and strongly said, oh, we're not careful, O king. But I almost think by this time the sweetness of the Lord got a hold of their heart. And they said, O king, yes, king, we're not here to do you harm. But we've got it settled. I can't go there, King. I'm not here to try to make you mad, King. I'm trying to say this as gentle as I know how. You're going to have to throw... We've already considered it. It's done. I love you, King. I'm not here to do you harm. Do you know the Lord can use people like that? Oh, yes, He can. I've got it settled. Conflict's past. Your opinion, my opinion doesn't count now. It's God's opinion. I have given myself to His service. And the brothers, when they were thrown in there, you know who the people saw? You know who the king saw? They saw the form of the fourth. And the king said, "That looks to me like the Son of God." Isn't that what God wants for you and I to portray while we walk in this life? When you're in the fire, what's your fire like? Is it like when somebody has come and slapped you on one cheek? Maybe their opinion was pretty strong and they cut you down pretty low. And what wants to begin to rise at this point? Imagine just about like everybody else, there's going to be something inside that wants to stand up and say, "That was unfair." I've got a son that he has a very keen sense of fairness. That's a kind way of saying that. If he perceived it not to be fair, there was something came out in him very quickly. And I knew when I saw that, I said, poor boy, you're going to have something that your daddy dealt with. But I want to tell you, there's grace. Sometimes with that keen sense, what we consider to be unfairness, we can rise up in our carnality and give the devil some space that he doesn't deserve. And then what happens to us, we get some terrible embarrassment goes on. There's some things we start doing, some things we wish we'd have never done. And we have to, if we're going to go on with the Lord, we're going to have to eat some humble pie and get down and say, "I'm sorry. I really am sorry." And then ask for some prayer. Say, "Brother, I didn't do that right. Would you please have mercy on me and pray for me? Forgive me for what I did." Folks, that's a wonderful tool against conflict. A wonderful tool against conflict is to say, "I'm sorry." To learn how to say that. And that is a tool that is available to all of us. We have great examples that's been set before us. Not only people that we know. But let's go clear back to the cross. I want to ask you, how would you feel if you were beaten as an innocent man? How would you feel if they put a mocking crown on your head and beat it into your skull? How would you feel if they spit on your face? Prince of Glory condescended. Thus he dies. He dies. How would you feel if that was you? If somebody treated you like that? How would you feel? Wouldn't you feel? Certainly, if you had at your disposal the ability to wipe your hand across them and they would all be gone. Wouldn't that be a temptation? But let me tell you what love does. Would you look back again at what Jesus did? When after they had done their worst, to deny, to belittle, to harm, to damage him in every way they knew, how to mock him publicly, scorn him publicly. And in his greatest of human agony, he looked down from the cross at that moment. And he said, "Father, forgive them." And I know that's a great, tremendous high water mark that God calls us to. But His grace is sufficient. It is the words of our dear Savior that He taught us how to deal with some of these issues in life. And I'll be honest with you, one time I preached a message on it and had to say all as I preached through that, I don't feel like I'm there yet. But I'm wanting to go there. But when Jesus said, "If He hits you on one side, offer the other one." These weren't just metaphorical words that He said. That's right. He was giving us life counsel. Yes.
When he said, overcome evil with good. That's true. He said those words. When he said, if somebody compels you, treats you ill and says, pick up this, carry it a mile. And at the end of the mile, you look at him and say, brother, can I take it one more? What does that do? It does two things. For one thing, it gives you and your soul great victory. When you have walked that first mile, maybe the first quarter, you have said, oh, you may have been frustrated. But then the Lord comes along and says, listen to me, son. Listen to me, son. I hung on Calvary for you. Yeah. Listen to me. And by the time you get to the end of that, you say, can I carry it one more? And at this point, it's not out of trying to heat coals of fire on his head. It's because out of your heart, you say, I just want to please the Lord. I've got victory in my soul. And if I can walk one more mile with him, maybe I can tell him about what the Lord just taught me on this last mile. Amen. Isn't that something that God would have for us? This is the mature way. This is where the Lord is wanting to bring all of us to. Now there's another area that we can give over to that ends up in wars and fightings and all kinds of discord, all kinds of terror. From whence does this come? Doesn't it come from the old carnality? Isn't that where it comes from? That's not what God wants. And I know perhaps tonight you may feel like that. Really don't need this message, but I want to ask you to stick it in your pocket because there's probably going to be a day that you will. Because conflict is going to come to all of us. And sometimes hurts. Lots of reasons to feel like that, well, they don't like me over there anymore and I think I'm just going to take my little red wagon and go home. And I want to tell you, be careful because the devil will sure load that wagon down for lots of reasons to carry it home.
That's right.
But you'll do yourself damage by doing that. I want to encourage you tonight to stay. There is a scripture that talks about, if thou knowest not, O thou fairest among women. If you don't know how to lead your children, you don't know what to do, he said, lead your children, lead your kids by the path, the shepherd's tent, raise them by the shepherd's tent and lead them. I'm getting that twisted. Who can quote that for me? But it's talking about leading them down the path that the sheep have followed. Down the path that's prescribed. There's safety in that, dear ones. God would have us to stay and be faithful. Go through these places. Don't let the devil get advantage of us because you're going to have some. You're going to have some places where it'd be easy to give over to all my carnal feelings. He says, you lust at war in your members. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and can't obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. There is something that has gotten in here. And we said, but I asked, but here's the problem. You really weren't asking in the name of the Lord. You really weren't asking in what God wants us to have. You know, if we're not asking something in the will of God, we're really not praying in the name of Jesus. I don't care how many times you end your prayer and say, I'm praying in the name of Jesus. Part of that is in the name of Jesus, I'm willing to say that I'm praying in accordance to His will. So Lord, help us here. We don't want to try to just consume it upon my own carnal desires. Well, Lord, help us this evening. I believe, I know we have some other scriptures here, but I think our time has gotten to the point I really shouldn't go. One, I'll just read a little bit here. Avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. Notice what this is. This, the devil would like to get us all jangling about little things that really has no benefit whatsoever. The devils were at work. When we see that, dear ones, let's recognize the devil's at work.
They're unprofitable and they're vain is what the end of that scripture I just read. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. As we think also about, and I want to, because I don't want you to go away feeling, I don't want you to feel crushed. I don't want you to feel accused. Perhaps, and I'll put my name in that, I've been one of those that haven't always handled conflict rightly. Haven't done it. I'm sorry. But I've been one of those. But we don't have to quit. God wants us to continue forward. For your encouragement, I would point again to Brother Paul and Brother Barnabas. How they didn't stop, did they? They didn't stop. They had a difference of opinion. And the difference of opinion was over, was this over whether Brother Mark was faithful in the to the doctrines? Is that what it was? Was it because that Brother Mark was he hadn't been doing something right spiritually? Was he sinning? Is this what the argument? No, it was simply because one of them said he went back home last time and I don't want to deal with that again. The other brother said he's young. Now perhaps, give me some liberty here. I don't know exactly what their conversation was, but they had one of them wanted to take him, the other said no. We know some of the circumstances that led up to it, but in their conversation, perhaps Brother Barnes was saying, oh, Brother Paul, let's give him. He's young. I really think he loves the Lord. We want to work with him. Brother Paul said, Brother Barnabas, This trip we're going on, I just don't want to have to deal. We're facing some things, and I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to take him this time. I don't know. Something like that could have happened. And it came to the point that they said, one said, I want to take him. They said, I don't. And so they went two separate ways. They didn't go two separate ways in doctrine. They didn't split. They went out in the same gospel work. That's an important distinction that I think. And these brethren, they still supported one another in the gospel work. So I want to encourage you, as you go through the places in your life that you don't know how to handle well, and maybe you haven't handled well, one of the good ways to start handling it right is to come back and just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Sometimes just to go before, I don't know to what extent, but you'll know. The Lord will lead you. For those that you have hurt or you need to say, just tell them I'm sorry. And say, that's the old flesh. And I'm, pray for me, brother. I want to make heaven. And don't we all here tonight? I certainly hope so. And again tonight, if you're not enjoying a walk with the Lord, I want to tell you, I want to ask you to come and start that walk with the Lord tonight. Because I know you've heard me talk about conflict, but the conflict that we find around the camp of the saints is very minimal compared to what you're going to find out there. This is the best place to have it. This is the best place to learn how to work together. So I want to encourage you tonight to throw your lot into the walk of the Lord. You're going to have peace in your soul. You're going to be a new creature. The Lord's going to not only change at least parts of you, probably instantaneously. Well, He will instantaneously now. But as you walk, He'll continue to change you. He'll shape you and mold you. And then at some point, you're going to look back and say, I can see far down where I used to be. But the Spirit has led unerring to where I am today. I want to encourage you today as contemplate some of this. I want you to know there is a God who wants to help each one of us. where we are tonight in your current needs. And tomorrow, if you, perhaps you're doing fine tonight, but if you face it tomorrow, the Lord wants to help you with those issues in your life tomorrow. There is a godly way to handle it. There is a proper way. There is a way the Lord would like to shape us and teach us that our tongue wouldn't get out of line, that our carnality wouldn't be on display. I want to encourage you tonight as we think about this. I want you to know there is a God that saves. There is a God that knows how to help you and I in life. And with these conflicts, there's victory in our future if we give it to the Lord and allow Him to lead us. So pray for me as we go. We want to serve the Lord together. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.